Well, if you've been coming to Truth Community at all for the past several weeks, you know that we're studying through the book of Titus, and it's our blessing this morning to be able to continue to do that today. The book of Titus really provides a blueprint for a young church like ours. It speaks of spiritual leadership, and it speaks of the spiritual character that should mark each person that belongs to the body of Christ. And last week, we were in Titus chapter 2, and I'd invite you to return there. We spoke about older men, the older men in the congregation last week, Titus chapter 2, verse 2, saw that they were to be dignified in life and mature in faith. And I encourage the ladies to use their elbows softly because there was another text coming this week, and that is in Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. As we see what the Lord Jesus, through his Apostle Paul, has to say to the ladies in the congregation, we're going to look at verses 3 through 5 today and also next week. It's very, very important for all of us to understand that Scripture places a high status on the woman of Christ. Particularly if you read the Gospel of Luke with any care at all, you will see that women were among the most faithful followers of Christ throughout his earthly ministry. It was women that were close to him at the cross. It was women who went to the tomb. It was women who wept at his feet and wiped his feet with their hair and anointed him with perfume in order to honor him. Scripture places women in a high status and places them on equal ground with men in the body of Christ. And it shows that women are capable of deep, high, and profound devotion that is often a testimony to the men around them. And so as we come to the Scriptures this morning, we are mindful of the high calling of God upon Christian women, and also the fact that God has blessed women and given them a profound place of significance in his kingdom. And so redemption bestows this high status on women, and we need to honor that. The question for this morning is, how does the woman of God respond to that blessing? What is the particular application and outworking of her redemption in light of the work of Christ in her heart? And we're going to see that in Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. Look at it with me as we read the text to open it here this morning. Older women, it says in verse 3, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. We read all three verses, but we're actually just going to focus on verse 3 here this morning. And let me just say, by way of preface, I'll be addressing the ladies today, but there's a couple of things for us men to keep in mind as we go through this text. One, Noah's speaking from personal experience, it's so often the wife of the house, the woman in the house, that is actually the one who is more sanctified than her accompanying mate. And so we need to receive these things and listen to them with humility as men, and to realize that the principles that Paul is speaking about, although addressed in this context particularly to women, are not foreign to what our own spiritual experience and spiritual aspirations should be. And men, if you have a godly wife, and I know that so many of you do, if you have a godly wife and you see her character reflected in the text that we're looking at this morning, two things for you this morning. Number one is that you should thank God that he's given you a woman like that to share life with. And secondly, you should do all that you can to encourage her and to affirm her in her pursuit of godliness. Tell her that you see these traits exemplified in her life, because she has a rough go of it. You know how I know? She's living with you. And so, ladies, as we come to a text that's particularly designed by the Spirit of God for you here this morning, we want to see what the Lord has for us. And I want you to know that as I speak to you this morning, I look out and I see so many godly women seeking to honor Christ in your lives. It's a great privilege for us as a church to have you in our midst. It's a great privilege to have you in our families, leading us, teaching us, serving us. But having said that, the Word of God would call you to excel still more, and it's with a gracious spirit that I address you here this morning. Look at verse 3 with me, as that'll be the text that we particularly focus on this morning. Older women, likewise. And see, he's tying it to what he just said about men. In verse 2 last week, we saw that men are to be dignified in life and mature in faith. And so with this word likewise, he's linking it like a chain, saying that what I am going to say to women is of like spirit with what I just said to the men. And so it's just that the application is a little bit different, but the underlying principles of godliness are the same. That's shown by the word likewise there. He says, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. Ladies, Paul is calling you. Better stated, perhaps, because this word comes from God himself through the apostle. God is calling you in your Christian life to show dignity that is like that which he called the men to last week. It's a dignity with an application just a little bit different, but the underlying principles are the same. Now, let's say something here directly. When Paul says older women, he's talking about this in a comparative sense. He doesn't use a chronological number in this place. Instead, he's speaking in terms of a station in life. Those speaking particularly in this verse to ladies who have raised their families, ladies who have had some life experience. And he's speaking to them and showing them what it is that their aspirations and what their application of Christian living should be now, today. For you younger ladies, perhaps not yet with a family, perhaps looking forward to that, perhaps on the very beginning of your Christian life. Let's say this and understand very carefully that what Paul says here today applies to you as well. That these are not only the things that should mark you, that should be characterize even a young Christian woman, but young ladies, listen to me carefully. This, what you see in this verse here, are the things that you should be setting your goal and saying, this is what I want my life to be like. Perhaps you're in a position where you're going to be growing into that in the years to come because you're still on the beginning stages of life. But this is the goal. This is the point on the horizon that you particularly look at and say, oh, that's what I want to become like. And if you have a mom that exemplifies that for you, you do the same thing that I told the husbands to do. You thank your mom and you honor your mom for doing that. And yet you realize that in this text, you have set before you what you are to become as a Christian woman as well. And so the application and the need for this is evident for all of us. But Paul here is speaking particularly to those women a little bit further along in life. And here's the question. How does a Christian woman aim for spiritual maturity? What is it that she looks at in her life? What is it that she looks like and say, okay, here I see what I am to do? Well, Paul gives us four things in this verse. And I thought about trying to get all of verses 3 through 5 into one message, but I realized that would just rush it. And sometimes when you rush things, you leave too much out. And so we wanted to slow it down here for verse 3. And I'm very excited, really, to be able to share these things with you. What is it that a Christian woman aims for in her spiritual maturity? What does she look at in her life? Four things. The first one here, and this is so fundamental, it is your self-assessment. Your self-assessment. A Christian woman lives by how she sees her position in Christ. It is the defining mark of how she views all of life. It is the prism through which she understands everything else. Look at what it says here in verse 3. Older women likewise are to be. Now, as I emphasized last time, this is a call to character. This is not first and foremost a call to things that you do. Everything you do is affected by it. But understand that this is a call to character. When you see this verse, when you hear it expounded, you should see that God is addressing your character directly and saying, this is what you are to be like. You ladies that have raised your families, that are almost finished raising your families, you ladies in your 40s, 50s, and beyond, this is what God is calling you to do. He is setting apart, sanctifying your heart and saying, listen, pay attention. This is what, at the very core of everything, you are to be like. Your self-assessment. And a Christian woman lives by how she sees her position in Christ. Look at it with me there in verse 3. Older women likewise are to be reverent. Reverent. That's a word that we don't necessarily throw around too much in our English language and in our everyday speech. And the interesting thing about this word is that this is the only time in the New Testament that this word reverent is used. And it's an interesting word. It's related to the word for being a priest, serving in a temple. What God is saying, ladies, is that you should see yourself as one who is set apart for service to God. He's saying that you should view your life as one that Christ has chosen, Christ has redeemed for himself, and therefore you exist exclusively to serve the purposes of God while you live this life on earth. To be reverent. To understand that you are set apart for a particular purpose. One writer says that this word means that a woman takes seriously the fact that she belongs to God and not to herself. It means that your deepest, most profound affections and loyalties belong, listen to me, this is going to challenge you. Belong not to your family, not to your husband, not to your children. Your most profound loyalty, most profound affection belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ who bought you with his own precious blood. And everything else that is around you, everything else, all of those important relationships are simply the outworking, and how you serve your family is an outworking of a prior vertical affection and loyalty to Christ. You see yourself as one set apart for service to God. That is what it means to be a Christian woman. Now, to help us see that, turn back to the book of 1 Corinthians. I just want you to see in a passage that's addressed to men as well, but this will kind of help you see what Paul has in mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, ladies. Particularly looking, we're reading verse 18 for the context to set verses 19 and 20. Paul says in verse 18, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Now watch what he says here in verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Christian ladies, Christian women, Christian sisters, you are a Christian because Jesus Christ bought you with a price. He laid down his life gladly for you. He bought you so that he could separate you out from this sinful world, bought you so that he could separate you out for his unique service. You've been bought with a price, and therefore your defining ambition in life should be to glorify the one who saved you with his own blood. You're reverent. You understand that you've been set apart for the purposes of serving this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who died for your sins by name. That's why you exist. That's your purpose in life, is to realize that you've been set apart to serve, to glorify, to magnify, to love with your highest affections the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no competition in that deepest, most central part of your heart. There is no competition with anything on earth for the love that you have for the one who died for your soul. That is your self-assessment. And so, ladies, let this lofty, noble realization settle into your mind, settle into your heart, filter into every way that you think. As I said earlier, your role is not defined primarily by your relationship to your husband or to your children. God gives them to you for a time, and you serve them and you love them. But as too many of you know from sad personal experience, these earthly relationships are ultimately temporary. Ultimately, your children grow up and move out. Ultimately, you'll say goodbye to your spouse, either as you depart this life or as your spouse departs this life. And what we have to understand is that the eternal reality, the eternal affection, that which endures and never changes, is the love and the devotion that Christ had for us in which we return to Him in kind. Ladies, that's why you exist, is to give Christ that primary, unique, undivided affection of your heart. It's to be set apart for Christ, and that impacts your entire life. Now, look at verse 3 with me again. That's the idea of reverent, being set apart, viewing yourself as one set apart for Christ. And look at verse 3 with me again. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior. Now, I don't especially like that word behavior, the way that that's translated. This is another word that's used only here in the entire New Testament. Christ uses two unique words back to back to express the uniqueness of what it means to be a Christian woman. And this term behavior, what I want you to understand is that this term behavior is saying more than be a good girl. It's saying more than conduct yourself in an appropriate fashion. It includes that, but that's on the margins of what this word means. What this word is saying is, in your behavior, it's referring to, get this, ladies, what this word is saying, this reverence that we just talked about, this sense of being set apart for Christ, what this word is saying is that that reality of reverence is to be an expression of everything in life. Your inner character of being devoted to Christ filters its way out in absolutely everything that you do. Ladies, what that means is, when Paul says to be reverent in your behavior, you should step back and realize, whether you consciously have thought this way or not, there is nothing in your life that is unaffected by the reality of being set apart for Christ. Everything, you're set apart for Christ. He chose you, He saved you, He sanctified you, and now having been set apart like that, everything that comes out of your life, all of your thoughts, all of your words, all of your behavior are tied back to that reality of the character of being one set apart for Christ. Reverent in your behavior. Let's put it this way. Ladies, you exist to represent Christ in your thought life, in your words, and in your actions, without exception. That is the starting point of life for you. That is where it all flows. It all bubbles out of that one pure and holy fountain. What springs out of your life all springs from the reality that Christ laid his life down for you, and now you serve him in return. That's your starting point. And let me say this, ladies. Every one of you, just like every one of us men, all of you ladies, to one extent or another, who are here today as a Christian woman, we understand that you have been saved out of a sinful past. For some of you, maybe it was just, it was more just a matter of an internal change, and that you never really got involved in a lot of the external sins of this world. For some of you, you look back at your life before Christ, and your life was profoundly sinful, recognized as such by those around you. Let me say something to you that is very important and very transforming. Those of you that gave yourselves over to worldly sin more than perhaps some of the others. Ladies, what we're talking about here, being reverent in all your behavior, your self-assessment, you need to think about it like this. If you are a Christian woman now, saved by the grace of God in your life, listen to me, this is glorious. Your sinful past no longer defines who you are. Christ saved you out of that. And though perhaps at one time you were a servant of sin, Christ has saved you out of that by his glorious grace, picked you up out of that, brought you into his kingdom, and says to you ladies with a sinful past, you ladies with a profoundly sinful past, Christ says to you, I took you out of that, and what defines you now is the fact that you belong to me. I have forgiven your past, Christ says. I will no longer bring it up. I will no longer hold it against you. You come and you follow me. That is the glory of being a Christian woman. The point of salvation in Christ is that Christ has forgiven you of your sinful past because he paid the price for your sin at Calvary. Part of what he was doing when he hung on that cross, part of what was bleeding, was his intention to wash away all of that sin in your life and to sanctify you and set you apart for his own glorious purposes. And ladies, what should that do to your heart? How should you respond to that? Those of you that have been deep into sin and find yourself now in Christ, understand this, that what that should do is that should make you love him profoundly. Yes, men took advantage of you. Yes, for some of you, you handed yourself over gladly for a time. And it was all wrong, and it was all sinful, and it was not what God intended for the moral quality of your life. But understand that in Christ, Christ has set that aside and said it's different now. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, the old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Part of the new things in Christ for you is that Christ has set you apart for himself. And you now stand forgiven, declared righteous before God based on the merits of someone else, based on the merits of Christ. Christ has saved you so completely that past no longer defines who you are. That's wonderful. That's glorious. And men, it's the same for us, isn't it? But Paul in particular here is addressing the women. And so, ladies, here's what your attitude should be if you're one of those women with a deep sinful past. Here's what your attitude should be about that. Here's what it means to be reverent in your behavior. Your attitude should be, my past was sinful, but Christ has saved me. That defines me now. The saving work of Christ in my life is what defines me now. And in gratitude for His undeserved mercy to me, I will give myself over to Him because I belong to Him and I'm glad to belong to Him. And you leave the past in the past and you look forward to the future with a sense that you belong to Christ and that sinful past has no longer the chains on you any longer. Ladies, it's a glorious thing to be a Christian woman. And because of that, you love Him. Now, if you're here and you're a ladies, just speaking directly to you, if you're not a Christian today, you know that somehow you haven't figured it out, somehow you're not yet in Christ. Let me assure you that your sinful past is no barrier to you coming to Christ. He calls sinners to repentance. He came to save sinners. If you look in John chapter 4, we won't turn there. Jesus had in front of Him in a Middle Eastern well, a woman who had had five husbands. And she was living with a man who was not her husband. And Christ spoke with her and explained that He was the Messiah and brought her to Himself, saving faith, and forgave her entire past. Ladies, He's the same Christ today that He was at that well. He's the same saving Son of God that He was back then. He will receive you. You can come to Him in all of your sin and find in Him a gracious Savior who's already paid the price and who calls you now to repent and put your faith in Him. And ladies, He's saying to you, I'll forgive it all. It's why I came. And in response to that, for all of us, brothers and sisters, we come to Him. Ladies, you trust His finished work on the cross for your salvation. And it starts to open up in your mind. It starts to unveil. Wow. Wow. I really love Christ. All of my guilt He took on Himself. He's forgiven it all. I belong to Him. I'm going to heaven. Yeah, there's all that junk in my past. But you know what? It doesn't even matter anymore because Christ has saved me. I'm set apart for Him in everything that I think, say, and do. Ladies, that's what it means to be a Christian woman. That's where you start. That's your self-assessment of this heart that you have belongs to one alone. That's your self-assessment. Now, where does belonging to Christ manifest itself in your life? That's the overall attitude that we have. Well, how does God want you to work that out? That's what we're going to see in our next three points that we'll cover fairly quickly, I think. Secondly, ladies, following the logic of Scripture, following what Paul says, the second point for this morning is you look at your speech. You look at your speech. In a particular way, God brings the application home to your tongue. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 3. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, set apart for God in all that they think, say, and do. What does that mean, Paul? Well, let me get more specific, he says. Not malicious gossips. Not malicious gossips. Let's put this in a positive way here this morning, ladies. As you're conscious of being set apart for Christ, you must understand, realize, embrace, and aim your heart for the fact that you must consciously use your tongue, use your lips, use your voice for high purposes. Your voice, your tongue is given to you for high purposes. As one set apart for Christ, one aspect of being set apart for Him is that your tongue is set apart for the purposes that He's appointed you to speak. Now, Paul states it in the negative, saying not a malicious gossip. You know, that's the same word that's used for the devil. It's the same word that's used for the devil, and it's used here in the sense of slandering people, just as Satan himself is the great slanderer of men. Paul is saying, don't be like the devil in the way that you speak. Don't be a slanderer of those that are around you. Your tongue is set apart. Your tongue is not for the purpose of wickedness. Turn back to the book of Proverbs. We'll see the positive side of this. Proverbs chapter 31. And we'll put a couple of things here together as we consider your speech, ladies. Proverbs chapter 31. And you can look specifically at verse 26 as you're turning there. Remember, ladies, what we're talking about here is what does it mean to be set apart for Christ? What does it mean to be reverent in all of your behavior? Well, the Bible starts it with your tongue. Speaking of a virtuous woman, in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 26, it says, she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Wisdom and kindness, ladies, not slander and evil reports. That is what God requires of older women in the church. Now, many women in this body, many women at Truth Community, speak with wisdom and kindness. I happen to be married to one of the best of them in that regard. And I am profoundly grateful for all of you ladies that the Lord has brought you here. And in light of this biblical pattern, in light of what Paul is saying here, each one of you ladies, young and old here, this gets really, really penetrating in its searching of our hearts. But particularly addressed to you older ladies, each one of you must ask yourself, is your tongue one that speaks kindly? When you open your mouth, is there wisdom that comes out? Is there kindness toward others that come out? Or is your mouth known for its biting sarcasm? Is your mouth known for its critical spirit? Is your mouth known for expressing hostility toward others? You see, when God calls us to be set apart, and He calls us not to be malicious gossips, He's really, really penetrating. You have to understand that your mouth is speaking from that which fills your heart. And if you see that kind of sarcasm, if you see worldly things coming out of your mouth, if you see unkindness and foolishness coming out, realize, as you sit here this morning, that God has just pinpointed a place for change in your life. Don't resist the conviction of the Holy Spirit on that point. Don't try to brush it off. This is the work of the Spirit of God through the Word of God trying to set you apart and make you more like Christ. And because you love Christ, you embrace that which points you further in that direction. You say, yeah, this stings. Okay, it stings. But you know what? I see the way forward. I need to start training my tongue. I need to start thinking before I start speaking and asking myself, is what I'm about to say a reflection of wisdom and kindness or something else? And if it's something else, let your right hand become your best friend and say, you know, up! And just let your right hand silence your tongue until wisdom and kindness is prepared to come out. It's all about loving Christ. It's all about being set apart for Him, realizing that when Christ laid His hand on your life to save you, when Christ drew you to Himself, He drew all of you, including that tongue in your mouth, to himself to be set apart and used for his purposes. And as you godly ladies are growing in Christ, realize the opportunity there. This is not simply God correcting us for the bad things that we say. It's God saying, recognize the purpose for which I saved you. Recognize the purpose for which I gave you the tongue. And if you are prone to a bubbly, outspoken personality, that's great. That's fine. Just sanctify it and use it to speak that which I would have you say. This is part of what God calls us to. Now, so how do we become mature Christian women? First of all, you got to be a woman. I can't be a mature Christian woman. I have to aim myself to being a mature Christian man. But if you're a woman, you want to grow in Christ, you set it in your mind, your self-assessment is, I'm set apart for Christ. I'm serious about that. Nothing is more important to me than that I belong to Christ. And then it starts to work itself out. The way that you speak, this brings us to our third point this morning. Your self-assessment, your speech. Third point for this morning, your sobriety. Your sobriety. Look at verse 3 with us. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine. And that word enslavement is a perfect translation of the verb form there. Has the idea of being under bondage to alcohol. And so, ladies, let me say this, just by way of a general statement. The more that you separate yourself from this alcohol-soaked generation in which we live, and the drug-infested way and times in which we live, the more you will reflect the reverence of a woman who belongs to Christ. We don't even need, you know, in one sense, there's not even a need to address, is it okay to have a little sip of something once in a while? We don't even need to address that in the sense that what you want to do as a woman set apart for Christ, and in light of how profoundly negative the impacts of all of that is, you should look at it and think about it, not what can I do, but how far can I stay away from it? And not even get to the point of whether it's sinful or not to take a simple sip. I'm not even going to address that. It's not the point of the passage here. Not to be enslaved to it, but ladies, for those of you that are really love Christ, to understand that the issue isn't how close can you get to enslavement and not sin. You should think about it in terms of how far can I stay away from it and thus sanctify myself for the purposes of loving my Christ. And if you think about it in those terms, I'm more than content to leave it to your conscience. Having said that, having talked about that sobriety, Paul says, don't be enslaved to much wine. You know what, ladies? What he says here in the totality of Scripture's teaching about wine and the Christian life, it's far more searching than you would realize. My guess is that for most of you Christian women here, you know, you're not closet drunks. I realize there might be some that are like that, but for the most part, you're not closet drunks. And so you look at that and say, that has no application to me. I can check that one off, and it doesn't search me at all. Well, look, little tangent here. For all of us, if you're reading through Scripture, and you come to a passage and you look at a passage and you say, that doesn't convict me at all. That has nothing to do with my life. I'm sure I fulfill that perfectly. Chances are you need to take another look. Chances are you need to think more deeply about it. Because the Word of God always searches us. It always convicts us. There's always something that we can appropriate from it. And so I don't want you to be content saying, okay, I'm not a closet drunk, I'm not enslaved to much wine, because Scripture searches us more than that. You see, not being enslaved to much wine has a positive scriptural counterpoint that we need to consider here. It's not enough simply to avoid the negative. We're to be marked by certain positive characteristics. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. And ladies, just remember, God brings us to this to make us better, to sanctify us, to show us how better to live out the affection that is in your heart for your Savior. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 gives us both the negative and the positive side that Paul only alludes to in Titus chapter 2, verse 3. Ephesians 5, verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine. Got it, Pastor. Oh, but the sentence isn't over yet. Oh, no. There's more here. For that is dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit. In contrast to being drunk with wine is being filled and under the control of the Spirit. And what does that look like? What does that mean? Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Do you see it? Do you see the positive scriptural counterpoint to being drunk and filled and under the control of wine? Scripturally speaking, it's not just that you avoid that and you're okay. There's a whole realm of Christian existence that should flow out of your life and mark everything that you do. To be sober is to not only not be intoxicated, it is to be filled with the Christian character that is the mark of knowing the Spirit of God. And so, when you say, "Nah, okay, I'm not enslaved to wine," good. That's good. But set your aspirations higher. Aim higher and ask yourself questions like this. When I think about music, is my heart filled with Christ-centered songs? Look at verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms. This is Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. What's your heart singing about? Verse 20. Always giving thanks. Is your heart filled with gratitude? Is your life filled with deferential love to others in the body of Christ? You see, ladies, the opposite of intoxication for the Christian woman is not merely sobriety in a physical sense. The opposite of that is a Spirit-filled life that is filled with godly music in your heart, a sense of singing with joy to Christ, grateful to Him, loving others in the body of Christ. That's the mark of a spiritually mature woman. Those of you that have aspirations for Christ, that's where you set your heart and your goals after. It's a sobriety that is a God-filled sobriety. And so, ladies, let me say this gently. Say it as one of like sinful failings. A woman whose mind is filled with secular media, a woman whose mind is filled with a grumbling spirit, can't lay claim just yet to being this reverent woman whose heart is given over completely to the Lord of her salvation. You see, we have to let the Word of God search us and examine us. A heart that is reverent a heart that is set apart, sets aside a lot of stuff, and sets itself over to the spiritual virtues of which the Word of God commends to us. And so you think about your life from that perspective. Fourthly, on being a mature Christian woman, your self-assessment, your speech, your sobriety, and realizing all that Scripture says about the opposition to drunkenness, that those positive spiritual traits are there. Fourthly, ladies, your sympathy. Your sympathy. And this brings us back to Titus chapter 2:3, and we're almost done here. We're going to be done early today, which is just fine. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. There it is, your sympathy, teaching what is good. We'll see this next week. It bleeds over, teaching what is good. Verse 4, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, and on it goes there in verse 5. Teaching what is good. And so what Paul has in mind here is for you Christian women to be mindful of the fact that rather than being a malicious gossip, rather than being given over to the things and the influences of this world, is to realize that God has placed you particularly in the body of Christ with a ministry that you are to carry out. As an older Christian woman, having gone through some of the battles of a difficult family life, having gone through some of the difficulties of raising children and all of that, your mindset needs to be, okay, here I am set apart by Christ. Here I am with these life experiences. Let me look around and see if there's someone younger who's like I was that could benefit from my loving encouragement and sympathetic help to them. You older Christian ladies, there's your ministry in the church. This is what God is calling you to do in particular, to have in mind the younger ones coming up. You know from direct personal experience how hard it can be. You ladies, and I can speak directly to my wife on this, you know what it's like to be married to a man who is sometimes difficult to live with. And you found the path of godliness through that. God gave you that character. God gave you that experience so that you would be quick and eager to share it with those who are struggling under the weight of what you used to struggle under yourself. That is a primary aspect of your ministry in the body of Christ. You understand the challenges and the trials that are unique to younger women. You're not to be consumed with your own life and your own activities and the own stuff that you do. There should be such a sympathy that's born out of your heart of being a Christian woman that you look out and say, oh, let me help. Let me bring my love to bear upon your life. Let me accept that responsibility to help you with sympathy. You older ladies, Truth Community can become a profoundly special place if those of you at that station of life embrace godliness, embrace this self-assessment, this speech, and this sobriety that we've talked about, said, and I want to embrace it so that I would be a blessing to the younger ones that are in the congregation. I may be in my 40s, 50s, whatever. There are women in their 20s and 30s who need to hear from me that I can help. You look for those opportunities. This is not just a pastor looking to make a congregation better. Ladies, what you need to see is this is the text of Scripture authored by the Spirit of God telling you what your job is in life. You are to have a ministry mindset that says, I want to minister to these younger ladies. I know what it's like. I know they need my help and encouragement, and I'm going to be available for them. That's the sympathy of an older Christian woman. And it's obvious from the context of what Paul's picturing here is especially private interaction, especially that one-on-one environment where a younger Christian woman can kind of open up and say, this is hard, and you respect her confidence, you respect her trust, and you honor that and say, here's what I did, and it helped, and let me pray with you. And so, ladies, with everything that we've said here, the exalted position of being a Christian woman, the exalted place that your tongue has, and the exalted place that God calls on your affections, and this opportunity to have a direct personal influence on the course of a family through the love that you would show to a young wife and a young mom. Let's be clear about something. What God has set before you is no second-class status in life. God has given you an exalted, noble, worthy position. You have a particular opportunity, a particular responsibility to manifest the godly life of one who is set apart for Christ, and let us all see what the fruit of that looks like. That's noble. That's worthy of handing your life over to. That's something for a woman. The women who embrace this life will quietly, but deeply and profoundly manifest the glory of Christ to the circle of influence that God has given to you, to your family, and to those of us that are watching. Ladies, Christ is calling. Christ is calling you. Christ is calling you and saying, rise up and embrace this view of being a mature Christian woman. This is the call of God on your life. Those who respond will know blessing untold that echoes throughout all of eternity. God bless you, ladies. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we as men would be quick to thank you for the ladies that you've placed in our lives and the ladies that you've placed in this church. So many of us as men have been blessed by faithful, godly, loving, kind, responsive wives who have overlooked our many faults and have been a blessing to us and been a blessing to our families and a blessing to our children and a blessing to others. And so, Father, we thank you for the ladies that are in our midst. And we thank you for the blessing that they've been to us. And Father, we realize we were searched as men last week by verse 2. We realize that the ladies have been searched by your word here in a particular way here in verse 3 from Titus chapter 2, verse 3. And Lord, we ask you to manifest your grace and kindness to them. Those that are true believers, Father, affirm them. By your Spirit, convince them of the goodness of your grace and the certainty of the forgiveness of their sins. Father, as they look forward to the future in light of this passage, in light of the women that you would have them still to become, let it be not with the weight of failure, but Father, with the hope of expectation. That as good as their Christian life has been so far, you're calling them to be even more godly and sanctified in the days to come. And may that spiritual aspiration of greater spiritual growth encourage them and help them as they walk through life in the days to come. Father, I pray, I thank you for the older women that you've given us in this congregation. I pray that somehow you would use them and bless them to be the encouragement to younger women that you've called them to be. And I ask, Father, that you would bring us young women who are teachable to that kind of instruction, Father, so that there might be an ever-expanding circle of godly influence emanating from this place. Women upon women, helping each other to become more like Christ, preparing our hearts, as it were, to enter into the presence of the one who saved us from our sins. Father, may that noble call be so tantalizing, so attractive to the women that are in our midst, that they would rise up and follow your call to even greater godliness until one day you welcome them into your presence around the throne of Christ, praising him forever and ever. We commit these things to you now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Don Green from Truth Community Church. For more information about our ministry, including Pastor Don's blog and our location and service times, please visit us at truthcommunitychurch.com. You'll also find Don's sermon library, where you can download free messages on many biblical passages and topics. This message is copyrighted by Don Green, all rights reserved.